My name is Sena Unatilare, so I'm part of the pastor here in St. Aldate, and I work with the internationals. And before that, I was a mission partner with the church here, working in my home country, Togo. I was doing church planting there. I may tell you a little bit more about that later on. But today, I just really want to share things God has put on my heart, concerning revival, and just trying to think together how could we really move in something God's already eager to do, which is to bring His Spirit. God is not really holding on to His power or holding on to His Spirit to come down. He's already there. And I think that even you and me here, if I say we all want to see God's Spirit come down. We want to see God, you know, in the pub down the road there. We want to see God's power manifesting over there. We want to see God's power in our universities. We want to see God's power in our families. We want to see God's power in our streets. We want God's presence to be everywhere, not just in our heart, not just in the church. He's God of everywhere. He's everywhere. So He should reign. His kingdom should reign in all these places. The whole question is, if God is eager to show His glory, He's eager to show His presence, He's eager to deliver, why we're not seeing all these things happening? So it's kind of something I've been reflecting on and say, Lord, we want more of You, but we're not seeing it in our street. We're not seeing it in the place of prostitution, of drug addictions. We're seeing all these things. We as a church, we have a role to play. And we see that historically, revival came through a long time of people praying, people asking, people really seeking the Lord, people knocking to the door of heaven. Say, God, please come down. Because we believe that only You can do it. We believe that we are powerless. Our politicians are powerless. We believe that the key is not in the human's being hands, but the key is in Your hand. Lord, do it, please. And God can do it on His own. God really didn't know. He doesn't need us to do it. But in His grace, He wants you and me to be part of what He's doing, to be part of that revival. We have a crucial crucial role to do is to ask, to be in that fellowship and to ask. And we see all these people in history spending time, prayerfully persevering, knocking, saying, we will not have a rest till this our nation will change. We will not have a rest till our families change. We will not have a rest till our city has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. What makes the difference between those people and us today? That the question we should be asking, what's different today? And I just want to point out three things, because there could be a lot of things. Three things I really want to touch on. And the first thing, I need to be looking at the time. The first thing I want to touch, I think, is that these people have a passionate love for God. They were passionate about God. And I remember somebody came to Jesus, Pharisees came to Jesus. We want to just to read it. Maybe they're putting on Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. He asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like, love your neighbors as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your God. Being passionate about your God. And I believe that God, the problem with the church today is that the bride is not in love with the groom. Us as a bride, we are not in love. Our heart is not really bumping. I remember when I was in love. And I was a young guy in Bible school, and I found a lovely lady, and my heart started bop, bop, bop. And I can tell you that I was transformed. I'm not somebody really, I always do things last minute. That's my sin, and I need to confess. But at that time, my lovely English Rose, she's from Essex, she's not, I know that the best wife is in England, but other people may disagree. But I can tell you that since I was in love, because I knew each time that she would come in a weekend, by Thursday, I'll finish all my assignment, everything I have to do for the week is finished by Thursday. People say, oh, Sina, let's go to the pub. I say, you can go to the pub. I have some job to do. My whole attitude was different because I was in love. And I'm looking forward, and I'll be speaking with my roommate about my lovely Jane. My whole mind was totally different. And I'm just really wondering sometimes, oh Lord, what's going wrong with us as a church? What's going wrong with me? Why am I so much in love with you? I think that we can talk a lot about revival. But until our heart is transformed to be in passionate love with Jesus, the bride being in love with Jesus, we can speak about it with our mouth, but our whole being will not really connect it. We've seen God's glory come down. And I remember in Revelation 2, verse 2 to 4, God talking to Jesus, talking to the church in Ephesus, saying, I know your deed, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name, and you have not grown weary yet. I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did first. Repent and get back to your first love. Even when you're a Christian, you come to Christ. Maybe some of you here, you remember that love and passion. I came to Christ one Saturday. On Monday, everybody at uni, I was a student, university student, everybody around knew that I came to Christ. They knew even before I spoke, I say anything, they say something strange about you. I say, yes, I met Jesus on Saturday. They say, this guy is crazy. But I couldn't stop talking about it. Something in me is really kind of bubbling. And I remember that Saturday going back home was with a friend. We gave our life. Charlie was there the day I gave my life to Jesus. I cried for 2 hours. Just not that. The church served, no, I didn't hear even the sermon because I converted during the worship. So it wasn't during the preaching. I didn't hear the sermon. But I was really rejoicing. Where is our passion and our love as a church for the groom? That's my first thing. We need to come as a church in Ephesus. God speaking to the church of Ephesus is the church today. We lost that love and passion for God. We need to come. And we need to repent. Lord, we repent for not really being passionate about you because all the thing has taken the place. Maybe like the church there, we are doing a lot of things for God. And I always, that's the first disease I say that Martha, I have two Martha diseases, and one of them is that we do a lot and we don't spend time in the presence at the foot of Jesus. We're just doing things for him. But he just wants to be with us. He wants us to be in love. He wants to feel his presence. And we need to spend the time aside, put the time aside for that. Passionate about Jesus. The second thing I want to say is have a heart, have the loving heart of God. And out of the love of God, we should have passion for people. I wonder, as a church, are we passionate about this loss? Are we passionate for people who are there? Are we passionate for the word of God? For this city of Oxford? Oxford belongs to God. Doesn't belong to the United Kingdom. Doesn't belong to the British people. It belongs to God. So anything happening in this town, sex trafficking, the oppression in this town, it's happening into your father's city. And we have to say that, Lord, give me your heart to see what's happening, the way you're feeling about Oxford. As we love him, we really have to have this passion for the lost and for those who are lost for eternity and for all the bad things the enemy is doing in the city. Lord, let me hear your heart. Change my heart. Do a surgery, heart surgery in me to see, have your heart for this city. Jesus said, no, the Bible tells us in Romans 5, verse 8, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God loves the sinners. God loves those who are there, even insulting, swearing about Christianity in the academic. God has a passion for them. Do you have a passion for them? You pass by the street, you see the drunk people. Sometimes you pass by them, they swear at you. Do you have a passion for them? I remember when I was in Paris, it was a guy who each time is always drunk. After church, I've always passed by him, and he would swear at me and saying all the abusive words at me. And I just look at him and say, I love you and Jesus loves you. It gets me even mad at me and say even more swearing thing. But that goes on for about 6 months. And after that, he called me my friend, starting calling me my friend. And people will be passing, he'll be swearing at me, at them. And when I pass, they say, hi, here is my friend. He said it many, many times. For 6 months, I will endure his swearing, but just get back to him with love. And that we needed that passion for the lost and for the city of God. Jesus was on the cross, and the people who are crucifying him, they say, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. And sometimes I'm wondering, did God give the possibility and the grace for these people even to come to the kingdom, to give their life to Jesus? It would be great. My dream is great that on heaven, I see those people crucifying Jesus, came to to the knowledge of Jesus, because God has so much passion that even on the cross, people who are crucifying him say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I just want them to know you. My desire is not to hate them or to ignore them, is to love them. And that was amazing advice I was given when I went to Togo as a missionary to plant, church planting. And I went to see one pastor called Pastor Ben. And I asked him, I went to different pastor who was there. I said, I'm new to the place. Which advice could you give? Could you give me? And one of the pastors came to me and said, the only advice I can give you is these people in here, there's a problem with alcohol here. They will get drunk, they beat up their wife, they beat up their children, they will do crazy things. And they will hate you because you're sharing the gospel, because of idol worshiping. People will come into Christ, so people start hating you and doing crazy things to you, but don't stop loving them. That's my best advice for you. If you want to succeed in this place, don't stop loving them. Despite anything who will be happening in this city, don't stop loving them. You will hate what the enemy is doing, but don't stop loving the people. And Jesus, looking over Jerusalem, in Luke 19, 41, the Bible is telling us, Jesus, looking over Jerusalem, start crying. Because he can just see the desolate city. This city who refused to recognize the Messiah. It's like our city today. People refusing to recognize the Messiah. And they are lost. They are in depression. They are in terrible states. But Jesus looked at this Jerusalem and started weeping, crying. And I wonder when the church will stand up and start crying for the lost soul and for the state of our cities. And when was the last time myself I cried for the lost soul of this city? If you want revival, we need to stand up and crying for what's happening and crying to God and crying for the people lost without God for eternity. crying for God to pour out his spirit and say, God, we need you. God, I need you. God, this city needs you. And the third point, as I'm looking at the time flying, is about having faith that God could do it. And then I have a crucial role to play. I and we as a church. And I believe that in one of the, in Genesis 18, verse 14, the Bible's telling that the Lord told Abraham, is anything too hard for God? In John 11, verse 40, Jesus told Martha that the second disease of Martha, I love Martha because I can really identify myself in her. So the first one is too busy to do God thing that you forgot to be in the presence of God. And the second disease is in John 11, verse 40, when Lazarus, his brother, her brother died for 4 days. When Jesus came, he said, she couldn't believe that God can do anything. The unbelief. And I think that in the church today, there are too much unbelief. We look at the society and we say, is lost. We may say in our mind that God can do it, but our heart is saying something else. Do you really believe that God can change our cities? God can change the situations. And Jesus told Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you see the glory of God. God can make the changes. He can transform the situation. And we can see that through different revivals, in the Hebrides or, through John and Charles, especially John Wesley and Whitfield, who was here in this city, those people believed that God can do something. And they gathered in a little group, and they used to be in Oxford here, the Holy Club, where John and his brother, Charles Wesley, Whitefield, a little group, they believed that God can do something here. They were passionate about God. They want God to give them his heart. But they said, God can change this nation. England was in a very terrible state at that time. Morally, in all dimensions, was a terrible state. But they say, God was the solution. And the church has to come to the place to say that God is the solution. Like they thought in that club, a holy club, start praying, pressing on, and on for God to intervene. And I remember when we was in Africa, in Togo, we arrived there in 2004. And with a little group of people, we started really praying. I have 5 to 6 every morning before people go to work at 7. So we start later than you. No, you quite know. 5 o'clock, I'm still sleeping. But they will come to my house, and then 5, 5:30, we are crying out to God. We say, God, this city that knows so much is known in Togo that not for alcoholism, for idolatry. Lord, you can do something in this city. We believe that you are the only solution. And as we start praying and praying, in God, in his grace, opened heaven and started touching the heart of people where we were. And we started seeing Muslim people coming to Christ. And we started having prayer meetings every Fridays. And all the leaders who the people we started the church with, every Friday we'll be fasting. From Thursday night, we start fasting till the prayer meeting. Say, God, do something in that meeting. And that prayer meeting become very famous in the area. Muslims will come. They say, you have heard that when we come to your church and the meeting, when we ask God something, God will do it. And I was surprised. One Muslim woman who came and said, because she's totally veiled and everything. And I was like, what's she doing here? And then she said, oh yeah, I heard. And she came from the other side of the town. That if I come here and I pray, God will give the answer my prayer. People say, starting thinking, the church is the solution. The solution is in the church. And people starting coming and coming to God, say, God, please change my life. God, please change the situation. And we see things changing around us. And we start in a little place where we can have about 70 people in that room. Charlie and Anita came and taught in that room when we started the church. And so quickly, there have been more people outside the room than in the church, in our building. We say that is not normal. And people will stand. We will stand all through the service outside. Outside the building and looking through the, you know, the kind of little holes is in the wall, and through the windows, they'll be leaking. And we say, what the point? If people outside are more than people inside, we better be outside. So we move into, under the tree outside in the church. And my son, younger son, Johan, who is 9, was dedicated outside the tree. It wasn't a church building because we didn't have enough, a bigger building at that time to hold people. We cry unto God. God broke in with power and transforming people around that place. And we see now the Muslim coming to Christ, you know, idol worshiper coming to Christ, people seeing that God can only change the situation. And I believe that is the same God who is here to change the nation of UK and England, is to change Europe. And God, I'm here and have a passion for Europe. God have a passion of Europe on my heart. And I believe if I come back, because we're in Togo, if I come back here, because I believe that God can do it through you and through me. That's why I believe God can do it. So I just want to close now. How many people? The thing, over my time there, I had the grace to baptize 271. I didn't even know that. It's the day I was leaving that the committee of the church said that we have baptized 271. But the year I left, we baptized 80 people. When we left, the year who followed, when we came back, they baptized, I wasn't there, it's all the people who were there, they baptized, you know, 86. And this year they baptized 36 people. But God's carrying on, the fire is carrying on, touching people and transforming lives over there. Is what the thing, the revival is not a technical word, it's about people. People's lives changed and transformed is what is it. And so for me, when I think about revival, it's about love. If I want to summarize revival, it's about love. Love of the gods, love that touches God's heart and coming down, touching people, people experiencing God's love. So to finish, I really want us really to come to that place when we just know the 3 points I have been pointing out about having a passionate love for God. As the bride of Christ, are you passionate for the groom? If not, as a church, we need to repent. And the second thing is having the heart, loving heart of God for the nation and for the people. We can ask the Holy Spirit is here to fill us and to give, you know, to create in us the desire for more of God and more passion for the people out there. And the last thing, Lord, if there's any unbelief in me, remove it. Remove it. I want to believe that you can do it. You believe that you can do it. And I love the passage in Ezekiel 37. When, you know, in the dry bones, and God's asking Ezekiel, could those bones live? Man of God, no, son of man, can these bones live? And he say, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. But God told him, prophesy. God's telling him, you prophesy. It's not God will do something. You will do it. Those bones, you, Ezekiel, you're the one who's going to give them life. I can do it my own, but I want just to go through you because I love you. Let's do it together. It's the same way God wants to do it with us. I want to bring a revival. I want to bring a renewal, changes in your family, in your city, in your workplace, in the pub, in the street. But I want to do it with you. Let God passionate about God, people out there, and have faith for the glory of his name. Amen.